The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. The first story today is The Wrong Fairy Tale. And this book is two fairy tales mixed up together, and it's Goldilocks and the Three Little Pigs. And it's written by Tracy Turner and Summer Macon. Once upon a time, in the land of fairy tales, a girl called Goldilocks was out for a walk in the woods when she spotted a little house made of brick. She'd never noticed it before, and being a sort of curious little girl, she went to have a closer look. There was a sign nailed to the garden gate. "Notice to wolves, go away." "Well, I'm not a wolf," said Goldilocks to herself as she opened the gate and walked up the garden path. "It can't do any harm to say hello." There she is going up the garden path towards the door in this little brick house. She knocked loudly on the front door 3 times and waited. There was no answer. "Hello," called Goldilocks. She thought she heard a squealy, snorty kind of noise, but then it went quiet. "Anybody home?" she called, giving the front door a little push. To her surprise, it hung open. A delicious smell came wafting through the door. Goldilocks' tummy rumbled. Meanwhile, in their little brick house, the three little pigs had heard footsteps on the garden path and shut themselves inside a cupboard in a panic. "It's the big bad wolf," said the first little pig. "He'll be asking to let in a minute." "And then he'll start huffing and puffing," said the second little pig. "I'm sure there's nothing to worry about," said the third little pig. "Not in this fine brick house. But let's stay here, just in case." But instead of the big bad wolf's booming voice, knock, knock, and another knock. "What's going on?" said first little pig. "What about little pigs, let me in," said the second little pig. "Well, whatever happens, he won't get into this house," said the third little pig. "It's made of bricks." Then, with a creak, the front door of the brick house swung open and Goldilocks stepped inside. "Is anybody there?" she said, looking straight at the cupboard. She marched up to it and opened the door. And three frightened little pigs tumbled out, and here they all come. "You're not the big bad wolf," snorted second little pig, squeezing out from underneath the third little pig. The first little pig ran to the door and drew 2 hefty bolts across it. "Of course I'm not," said Goldilocks. "I just wanted to say hello to my new neighbors. And, ooh, is that porridge?" You might know it as oatmeal. 3 delicious-smelling bowls on the table. "Would you mind?" Goldilocks asked. Without waiting for an answer, she picked up a spoon and dipped it into the first bowl. "But," began the first little pig. "Oh, that's far too hot," exclaimed Goldilocks, and picked up the spoon next to the second bowl. "No, that one's too cold," she said, moving on to the third bowl. "Wait," said second little pig. "This one is just right," said Goldilocks happily, taking another spoonful from the third bowl. "Hang on," said the first little pig. "A blonde girl goes into a cottage in the woods. She finds 3 bowls of delicious pig swill." "You're Goldilocks," said the 3 little pigs together. "You're in the wrong fairy tale." Goldilocks spun around. "Oh," she said, with a worried look at her spoon. "What happens now?" As if in reply, a great booming, barky sort of voice shouted from outside, little pigs, let me in." "It's the big bad wolf," squealed the third little pig. "No," shouted all 3 little pigs, "you cannot come in, not by the hair on our chinny chin chins. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." "Luckily, I built my house out of bricks," the third little pig told Goldilocks. and not from puny sticks or, I can scarcely believe anyone would do this, straw. Luckily, someone remembered to lock the front door this time, muttered the first little pig, who was busy closing all the window shutters. Outside, the big bad wolf was huffing and puffing and doing his best to blow down the brick house. Ha! Laughed the third little pig nervously. He'll never blow down this house. And after a lot more huffing and puffing, the big bad wolf rattled the front door and the window shutters, growling angrily. I'll show you and your brick house, piggies, snarled the wolf. I'll get in there somehow. And there's four little faces peeking out from behind the shutters. The first little pig had his eye to a hole in one of the shutters. He's got the ladder, he said. The chimney, squealed the second little pig. Come on, cried Goldilocks, and she ran to the fireplace. Here, said first little pig, handing to Goldilocks a bundle of straw. This was left over from when I built my straw house. Goldilocks used the dry straw to start the fire. There was a thunk as the ladder slammed against the side of the house. He's climbing up to the roof, oinked the second little pig. Quick, take these. These were left over from my stick house. Goldilocks added the sticks to the little fire one by one, and they crackled and they burned. The big bad wolf was on the roof. Come on, Goldilocks, squeak, the third little pig, handing her a bigger log from the basket. Smash! A roof tile fell and splintered to pieces outside. There, said Goldilocks, that should do it. Orange flames burned brightly in the fireplace. A moment passed before a big, furry, bushy tail appeared on top of the hearth. The flames licked higher. Oops, you can see the wolf's feet now in this picture and his big old tail. Yow! Howled the big bad wolf, scrambling back up the chimney with his tail on fire. Ouch, that must have hurt. He popped out of the chimney, left off the roof, barely touching the ladder, put out his tail in the garden pond, and then bounded off into the distance. Well, I don't think we'll be seeing him again, said Goldilocks. And she was right. The big bad wolf never came anywhere near the little brick house ever again. Goldilocks and the three little pigs became great friends, and they all lived happily ever after, even though it was completely the wrong fairy tale. And there they are, all playing together and living, enjoying each other's company. They're out in the beautiful garden, and their little pigs are riding their bike, and Goldilocks is waving to them as they go past. And anyways, that is the end of this mixed-up, completely wrong fairy tale. Our next book is called The Paper Bag Princess by Robert Munsch. Elizabeth was a beautiful princess. She lived in a castle and had many, many expensive princess clothes. She was going to marry a prince named Ronald. And here we have a picture of Ronald. He was a very stuck-up prince. He had fancy clothes on and looked like he thought he was the boss of the world. But she, Elizabeth, was in love with Ronald and wanted to marry him. Unfortunately, a dragon smashed her castle, burned all of her clothes with his fiery breath, and carried off Prince Ronald. Uh-oh! Elizabeth decided to chase the dragon and get Ronald back. She looked everywhere for something to wear, but the only thing she could find that was not burned was, believe it or not, a paper bag. So she put the paper bag over her head, cut a hole in it at the top, put the paper bag over her head, she had already cut armholes out of the sides, and followed the dragon. He was easy to follow because he left a trail of burnt forests and horses' bones. And Elizabeth was mad. Finally, Elizabeth came to a cave with a large door that had a huge knocker on it. She took hold of the knocker and banged on the door. The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Well, a princess. I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow." He slammed the door so fast that Elizabeth almost got her nose caught in it. Elizabeth grabbed the knocker and banged on the door again. The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Go away. I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow." "Wait," shouted Elizabeth. "Is it true that you are the smartest and fiercest dragon in the whole world?" "Yes," said the dragon. "Is it true," said Elizabeth, "that you can burn up 10 forests with your fiery breath?" "Oh, yes," said the dragon, and he took a huge deep breath and breathed out so much fire that he burnt up 50 more forests. "Fantastic," said Elizabeth, and the dragon took another huge breath and breathed out so much fire that he burned up 100 more forests. "Magnificent," said Elizabeth, and the dragon took another huge breath, but this time nothing came out. The dragon didn't even have enough fire left to cook a meatball. Elizabeth said, "Dragon, is it true that you can fly around the world in just 10 seconds? "Well, yes," said the dragon, and jumped up and flew all the way around the world in just 10 seconds. He was very tired when he got back, but Elizabeth shouted, "Fantastic! Do it again!" So the dragon jumped up and flew around the whole world in just 20 seconds. When he got back, he was too tired to talk, and he lay down and went straight to sleep. Elizabeth whispered very softly, "Hey, dragon." The dragon didn't move at all. She lifted up the dragon's ear and put her head right inside. She shouted as loud as she could, "Hey, dragon." The dragon was so tired that he did not even move. Elizabeth walked right over the dragon and opened the door to the cave, and there was Prince Ronald. He looked at her and said, "Elizabeth, you are a mess. You smell like ashes, your hair is all tangled, and you are wearing a dirty old paper bag. Come back when you are dressed like a real princess." "Ronald," said Elizabeth, "your clothes are really pretty, and your hair is very neat. You look like a real prince, but you are a bum." And they did not get married after all. So she proved to Ronald that he was a pretty mean, stuck-up, horrible boy, when all he could think about was fancy clothes. So, anyways, that's the end of that book. Our next book is a Pinkalicious book, and this one is called Flower Girl. Mommy was on the phone. I saw her smile and heard her say something about a flower girl. I wondered to myself, what's a flower girl? My mind filled with pinkatastic visions of flower girls. It was positively pinkerific. I wanted to be a flower girl. I was going to start making my outfit right away. I rounded up some useful supplies. My green tights were good for my stem, and then all I had to make were the perfect petals. So here she is making what she thought was a flower girl. She has her green tights on, and she had paper pieces of green paper that she had cut out in like big petals or big leaves for herself, and she's wearing that in a little skirt around her waist, and she's wearing a green, I guess you can call it a green ballet outfit. And then she made herself a hat of pink petals to wear around her head pink pieces of paper that looked like petals, and she's tying it on behind her ears. And she's making herself into a flower girl, or at least what she thought was a flower girl. Peter asked, "What are you doing?" I told him, "I'm a flower girl." "Wow," Peter said, "can I be a flower boy? I want to be a tiger lily because that sounds ferocious." "I'm a fragrant rose," said I, squirting Mummy's perfume all over me. As soon as our outfits were done, Peter and I rushed out into the sunshine. Peter, her little brother, ran around yelling, "Look out! I'm a flower! I'm a tiger lily!" I twirled around. "Look how delicate my petals are! Don't I smell rose-alicious?" Here they are playing in their backyard that has many beautiful summer flowers growing in there. "What are you doing? And what is that smell?" asked Daddy. I was surprised that he couldn't tell just by looking at us. "Haven't you ever seen flower children before? I am a flower girl, and Peter is a flower boy." Daddy chuckled. "Mommy will tell you later, but flower girls don't smell or look like flowers. They throw flowers." I was shocked. "Are you sure?" Daddy laughed. "Yes, it's true. Flower girls really throw flowers." Peter and I were stunned. I asked, "Why would flower girls throw flowers?" Peter shrugged and then started picking flowers and tossing them all over the lawn. I was completely confused. "People throw balls and sometimes horseshoes or even tantrums. Why would anyone throw flowers? It just does not make sense." Then it came to me. Oh, maybe Daddy meant flower, not flowers, I shouted as I hurried into the kitchen. "I don't get it," said Peter. I shrugged and said, "Neither do I." There she's in the kitchen, reaching up to get something from the top of the fridge. Throwing flour didn't make any more sense than throwing flowers, but it sure was fun. And she was throwing flour, the stuff you use for baking and bread and cookies and cakes. There was flour everywhere. It looked like there had been a blizzard inside the kitchen. Peter laughed. "It's like having a snowball fight, but without the cold fingers." "And making more mess," laughed Pinkalicious. When Mummy walked into that kitchen, we both froze. She stared at us. She stared at the room. It was a mess. Mummy was speechless. And finally she said, "What are you doing?" When I told her, Mummy laughed so hard, her face turned pink. And then she explained what a flower girl is and told me I was going to be one very soon. "My cousin wants you to be the flower girl at her wedding. Isn't it great?" Being a flower girl was even better than I had imagined. I was part of the wedding party, and I loved parties. I got to wear a pinkatastic dress, and I got to throw petals when the bride walked down the aisle. Peter got to be a ring bearer, which has nothing to do with bears, but it means that he got to carry the wedding rings. But the very best part was the cake. Flower power forever. And there's this beautiful white wedding cake with all sorts of flowers falling down over the sides and decorated all around the bottom. It is a gorgeous cake. And anyways, they all had a nice big piece. And that's the end of this book. This book is called Paddington the Artist by Michael Bond. One Sunday, Paddington was out for a walk with his friend Mr. Gruber when they came across some paintings tied to the railings outside the park. "It's what is known as an outdoor exhibition," said Mr. Gruber. "They have one here every week when the weather is nice." "All the paintings are for sale," Mr. Gruber explained. "This one is called Sunset in Bombay." "Well, I'm glad I don't live in Bombay," said Paddington the Bear. It might keep me awake all night." And it looked like a sun just exploding across this painting. It was all orange and yellow. Well, how about this one then, said Mr. Gruber. It's called A Storm at Sea. And all swirls and wiggles and squiggles on this painting. It's all green with white. Paddington suddenly wished he hadn't eaten such a big breakfast. Ooh, I feel seasick, he said, and he hurried on to the next picture. This is a picture the artist painted of himself, said Mr. Gruber. It's called a self-portrait. I think it looks very like him. Paddington gave the picture a hard stare. I don't think I'll buy any paintings today, said Mr. Gruber, he said. Paddington looked very thoughtful as he made his way home to number 32 Windsor Gardens. When he got there, Paddington collected all his paints and brushes from his room and went out into the garden. The next Sunday, when he and Mr. Gruber had finished their walk, Paddington led the way back towards Windsor Gardens. I'm having an outdoor exhibition of my own this week, Mr. Gruber, he said. This is meant to be a sunset in Winter Park. Only, it took me quite a long time, and it got dark before I could finish it. And this is a picture of a rainstorm. Only, it got very wet, and all the paint ran. This is my best one, said Paddington. It's a picture of me. I've put my special paw mark onto the show that I painted it myself. Mr. Gruber gazed at Paddington's portrait for a very long time. It's very good, Mr. Brown, he said at last, not wishing to upset his friend, but I think you look even better in real life. I kept going upstairs to look at myself in the mirror, said Paddington, but by the time I got downstairs again, I'd forgotten what I looked like. Painting isn't as easy as it looks, Paddington added sadly, especially with paws. I think I might give up. Well, I hope you don't do that, Mr. Brown, Mr. Gruber said thoughtfully. After Mr. Gruber had said goodbye, Paddington sat down beside his paintings, hoping that someone would stop and buy it. And here he is sitting in front of all his paintings, but no one seems to be buying them yet. But it was a warm day, and no one came past. In the end, Paddington fell asleep. There he is, with his empty glass of lemonade and some little fish crackers, and he's sitting there on the sidewalk, sound asleep. When he woke up, Paddington found, to his surprise, that all his pictures had gone. But tucked inside his pocket, he found an envelope with his name on it, Mr. Paddington Brown, 32 Windsor Gardens. And inside the envelope there was some money and a note saying, thank you. If Mr. and Mrs. Brown recognized Mr. Gruber's writing, they didn't say anything. They hadn't had such a peaceful time for ages. I guess because Paddington was out painting, he wasn't bothering them. And best of all, Paddington carried on painting, so everyone was very happy. I think I might paint a family portrait now, said Paddington. That is, if I have enough paint left for all the smiles. And there's the family, plus Mr. Gruber, sitting on the bench with smiles on their face, waiting for Paddington to paint their portrait. And that's the end. Our next book is called Big Pig on a Dig, by Russell Punter and Stephen Cartwright. A letter lands on Big Pig's mat. For buried treasure, find this hat, it says, and it shows a pirate hat. So Big Pig hunts. She finds that hat, and tucked inside, a dusty map. It was out in her yard, I think. Fat cat, she shouts. What, look what I've found. She lays the map down on the ground. A big cross shows where she should dig. A chest of treasure, cries Big Pig. And there, for sure, is a map, and it shows a big chest of treasure and an X over the spot. And it shows her house and the little stream she has to cross. and a pond with ducks and a little pirate ship. So who do you think sent that letter? Off you trot and let me rest, said Fat Cat. Big Pig heads off to find the chest. Fat Cat grinned. That funny pig. I'll go along to watch her dig. But first, Fat Cat decides to nap and dreams of cream. Yum! Lap, lap, lap. And in her dream, she drinks up all that delicious cream. And there's Fat Cat sleeping away with a big smile on his face. There's the crust, declares Big Pig. This will be fun. I love to dig. And he crosses the stream on a little bridge. Big Pig is so excited by the dig, she does a jig upon a twig. With hat and shovel, she's all set. There's loads of gold to find, I'll bet. I'll soon be rich. Big Pig digs down. Deeper, deeper. Not long now. Big Pig hurls dirt beyond the hole, and now she's closer to her goal. But who is that digging by her side? Have you found gold there? Big Pig cries. There's something in a hole beside Big Pig. It looks like a little white bumpy tail or something. Oh, what? Why are you digging like a mole? Who put this old box in my hole? And it's a little rabbit that hops out of this hole. I drew the map for you, Big Pig. I know how much you love to dig. And there's Fat Cat smiling at the bunny and Big Pig. Chocolate coins. Why, thanks, Fat Cat. How kind of you to do all that. So Fat Cat tricked Big Pig into thinking she would find treasure, and she really does, because Big Pig loves chocolate, and the little treasure chest was all filled with chocolate coins. How nice. This is called If I Were a Kangaroo, a Bedtime Tale by Mylissa Larson. Well, we've almost run out of time for today, but let me read you the first verse. If I were a kangaroo, I'd pick you up and carry you in my pocket, sleepyhead, and hop you gently off to bed. But you're not a fish or bug nor bird, so hush now, not another word. I will count your fingers and your toes and gently kiss you on your nose, then tuck you in and hug you tight and whisper, I love you. Good night. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.